ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And this is the Religion and Ethics Report here on ABC Radio National with me, Andrew West. And I'm sitting, it's a blazing hot day, but I'm sitting in a pretty idyllic place. It's the beachfront at Cronulla in Sydney's southern suburbs. Looks out onto the Pacific Ocean. There's a lot of activity here. 20 years ago, though, there was activity of a less happy kind. What became known as the Cronulla Beach Riots has become not just local folklore, but became a national political flashpoint. Many cast it as a clash of cultures. Well, one man who knows the area intimately, who remembers the day intimately, is Graham Cole. Graham is a longtime journalist. He grew up in the area. His dad was involved in local politics, worked on local and national newspapers. 2016, he won the Gutenberg Prize for religious journalism. Graham has recalled the events of that day and also what led up to it in an article for Zadok magazine. Graham, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Andrew.
Just recall for us the 11th of December 2005. How did this day begin?
Well, it was a warm day like this, not dissimilar to today. There were groups of people, mainly older people, coming down to see what was going on. They were at North Cronulla along the wall, and the mood was fairly festive. People were there raising the flag and socialising and so on. There was no real sign of violence or anything like that. But as the day progressed, more young people arrived. After lunch, it became fairly volatile. People were arriving with cartons of beer, getting off the trains at Cronulla and Woolaware with beer cans and bottles and vodka cruisers and so on. They made their way to North Cronulla. There was probably around, in the end, about 5,000 people. The police were there. They set up a watchtower above the North Cronulla Surf Club, but the people spilt out over the roads, into houses, along the streets, and they were blocked off and they were drinking incredible amounts of alcohol. It became more volatile as the day went on.
Yeah. What had happened, though, in the lead up to these riots? Because this is where this story about a clash of culture started to develop. What were some of the provocations? Because let's be frank, there were certain media personalities urging people to come to Cronulla for a clash of cultures. What was happening in the lead up to it?
There was a group of young men from Sydney's West who were coming down here, and it wasn't just that Sunday, but I'm talking about weeks and months before. The young men were playing football on the beach, kicking balls around into people. If you can imagine trying to manage a beach with thousands of people on it, and a group of young men come along and start, whatever background they are, start kicking footballs around and hitting people, and then making lewd comments about the young women going up to have a shower after they got out of the water. This was all going on and building up, and people were talking about it. People felt a little bit powerless about it, that the police weren't acting or whatever, but it was a beach management issue. A lot of the lifesavers here got frustrated. There was a scuffle, and I think one of the lifesavers ended up in hospital. Yeah. As a result of that, the media picked it up, particularly News Limited, The Daily Telegraph, Alan Jones, of course, and 2GB, and there was a rally cry, there were text messages went out, and on the day, these text messages went further than the Sutherland Shire. There were people from all over Sydney turning up here.
But wasn't it presented, though, as an almost religious clash? There was an attempt to say young men of Muslim background were colonising, quote-unquote, our beach, and we've got to reclaim the beach. This seemed to be part of the accusation, wasn't it?
There was an element of racism in it on that Sunday. There's been a great debate about this whole area. Is this a youth issue with racist and nationalist overtones, or is it a racist issue with youth overtones? There was a lot of stuff leading up to this where, yes, there were people around here, I know, that said we don't want Muslims here and Islam and all the rest of it. But the bigger issue was about young people, and that certainly came to the fore after the riots, where Muslim leaders met with some of the leaders around here, including some Christian people, and said, we have a youth problem, and we have a youth problem here in Cronulla as well. The alcohol problem publicly during that period was very, very big. Back in the 80s, people fighting in Dunningham Park, 100 people there just brawling one night from the workers' club, and then on the Kingsway at Carringbar at New Year's Eve, I had my car kicked in trying to turn a corner because people were out in the street drunk. There was an issue there around Islam, and then it turned into an issue around policing. Yeah. There was a whole lot of things around it. Honestly, a lot of the people involved in the riots that day on the 11th didn't have a big understanding of Islam.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this neighbourhood, because you know it so well. You grew up here. How culturally insular has the Shire been in that sense? Maybe not today. I mean, I look around and there are families who look like they come from all parts of the globe. But even 20 years ago, was the Shire, as it was known affectionately, still today, an insular place?
When you use the term insular, I would say the population here, predominantly from the 1950s through to the 1980s, was white Anglo-Saxon, usually Protestant, and largely working class. People came from Western Sydney here after the war. They bought the old weekenders, the Fibros. As a result of that, there was a lot of jobs here. Caltex at Cornell, Carbon Black, Chrysler, Park Davis. They employed young people who did their trades there. We're involved in a union today. Most of your tradies hold an ABN rather than a union ticket, put it that way. The world's changed enormously. The other thing too around here is that the price of land and property and homes was affordable for working class people. It's no longer affordable.
Yeah.
In the area where I grew up, there are $2 and $3 and $4 million homes.
Yeah. Did the area have a character that was notably Christian in its sense?
Yeah, there was a strong Christian character in the Shire here. The churches in a lot of the places were the focal point of the community, particularly in the post-war era and right up to the 1980s, 1990s. They provided a lot of the social outlets for young people and things to do on a Friday night. In the Protestant area and the Anglican area, it is a strongly evangelical.
The reason I ask that is because out of the Cronulla riots, something actually good happened. I mean, you document this in your article. There were apologies between communities, and there was a genuine outreach between young men, particularly young men in the Muslim community in Western Sydney, and the surf community, wasn't there?
Yes, there was a lot of good that came out of it. The beach manager here, Brad Whitaker, at the time, he is a Christian, a champion longboarder, and is well respected in both the community and the surf community here in Cronulla. This is where Christian surfers began. It is now a worldwide movement with 30 or 40 chapters in countries overseas. But after the event, Brad actually wrote an apology in conjunction with the Lord Mayor at the time, and it was read to community leaders from Lakemba, Islamic leaders, and there was a great deal of work going on between the Lakemba leadership and the leadership from Cronulla. There was young men that came over here who did their surf bronze. There's one young man from Western Sydney who's, well, he won't be young now, but did his bronze medallion, who's still a competitor at Wanda Surf Club and is still doing his rounds of voluntary surf lifesaving. So there was a lot of good things that came out of it. The partnership between Surf Lifesaving Clubs, Southern Council and the Lakemba community provided surf education for schools and to bridge the gaps and show that everyone is welcome around here. It doesn't matter whether it's Cottesloe, it doesn't matter whether it's Glenelg, it doesn't matter whether it's St Kilda, it doesn't matter whether it's Coogee or Broadbeach in Queensland. A beach has to be managed, and this all started in many respects because young men from Western Sydney took offence and they thought it was an attack on their culture and their faith when lifesavers were asking them to swim between the flags. So there was a lot of education that had to happen as well.
Yeah.
The Southern Shires always gets painted as this community that is culturally unified or something, but it is very diverse as well. Growing up here, there were Chinese who ran local stores, there were Italians and Greeks and Dutch who worked in the Caltex oil refinery, refugees from the Second World War, people who worked with my dad, not just culturally, but politically as well. This area, right up until probably the 1980s, was a strong Labor area. It was called the Red Belt. Professor Carey from the University of New South Wales, the father of Gabriel Carey, who wrote Puberty Blues with Kathy Lett, said this was the working man's paradise. That's how he described it.
What for you personally was the message and the impact, though, seeing a beloved part of your childhood erupt in violence?
I felt ashamed. I felt sad. There was a deep sadness as well, because it tarnished those who think a different way, who have a different worldview, and particularly for a lot of Christian people, there was this idea that this was Christian versus Islam and all this sort of stuff. No. For Christians around here, we were disappointed and saddened by it, but it did give the opportunity, I must say, to build bridges. A lot of those bridges that were built were by Christian people. There was a service here held on the beach, and the former chaplain from the Sharks, George Capsis, released doves, and Jason Stevens was there, and Brad Whitaker, the Christian beach manager, knew that the only way forward was an apology. He wanted consensus and the place to be an open place for people to come. And for me as well, I was saddened because some of the people that I saw involved, I'd known for years. I was saddened that there was this remnant of this sort of white Australia stuff. But I also know that some of the people that were alcohol feud on the day weren't always like that. The alcohol issue was a huge issue for the day, but it set alight a whole lot of other things. I felt that the policing could have been better, but it did bring to the fore a whole lot of unresolved issues about identity, and particularly young people's identity. On the day, a lot of the young people looked like they were lost. A flock of sheep who needed some leadership and some direction.
How appropriate on our last program before Christmas that you make the reference to the flock of sheep and the shepherd. Graham Cole, it's been terrific to speak to you again. Graham Cole, long-time journalist, local here in the Sutherland Shire. Graham's the author of a really interesting essay in Zadok magazine, current edition. We'll put a link to it. Thank you for being on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you, Andrew.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.